Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am VNZB. We're looking back at Thursday. Field day's underway, so we're going to give you the update from there. We'll try and answer that age-old question. What is the difference between a Sally Lunn and a Boston Bun? Exactly. And but first off, of course, we can't really avoid talking about the Grenfell Tower tragedy.
Last night, watching with friends, I turned to one of them and I said at one stage, and I can't remember at what point it was of the night, because we were watching a couple of different programs, watching the fire and watching something else. And I said to him, I've just lost faith in the powers that be. I was trying to be all encompassing because there, you know, there's all sorts in authority, the powers that be. And I would imagine I'm not the only one that feels this way. Over a lengthy period of time, I've just seen so many things go wrong. I've seen so many results come out from so many different areas, from science, one in particular, but that's not my anchor. From various other aspects of life where people have got things wrong or where authority has failed. Now, part of the reason that we're in this position, from my perspective, is because we've surrendered to it, or surrendered far too much. We expect government to come up with a solution to everything. We rely on government for this and that and everything else. We rely on councils. Well, maybe we don't, because they're unreliable. But you know what I'm saying? And that when you go to an authority figure, be it a lawyer, a doctor, even an accountant, and you can list others, builders. Sorry, fellas, you don't have to necessarily include yourself in this list that I'm nominating. But when you go to them and you ask them for advice and they give it to you, we tend to take it as gospel when it's not. And second opinions, at the very least, should be ascertained by each and every one of us.
So that sounds like a fun evening to spend with your friends watching the Grenfell Tower tragedy. Anyway, I guess it's, in all seriousness, hard not to see it whenever you turn on a TV, and it certainly hasn't escaped Marcus's attention either.
I have something to say firstly about the way the news is. Now that everyone has cell phones and video cameras, in fact, I actually don't know what I'm going to say, because I don't know what all this means, but I thought I'd have a bit of a, do some looking into this fire at the tower. So I went and looked at some of the UK papers and some of the local papers and watched some of the TV. To me, it's too harrowing. When you have people on cell phones filming themselves so very much alive moments before they die, it's just heartbreaking. And I don't know what the solution to all of this, because it almost feels like look, look, don't look. We want to be informed, but suddenly we are confronted with video and images, the likes of which we've never been able to see before, and nor have we wanted to. So yeah, I'm in a total dilemma about all of this. I just find the whole thing harrowing.
To be fair, that probably is exactly the way you are supposed to feel about it. But yeah, there is a fine line between being informed and just gratuitous voyeurism. Anyway, let's talk field days now, because it's all on and Jamie Mackay is our man.
You must be the most travelled broadcaster in this country. You're everywhere.
Well, I'm starting to think that, Larry, because believe it or not, I'm flying back from Hamilton to Dunedin tomorrow night, and then I fly up first thing on Monday morning back to Hamilton, I don't know why I didn't stay up for the weekend for the unveiling of the Colin Mead statue
in Tikiwiti.
Oh. Yes, I'm going to be down for that on Monday. It's going to be a wonderful occasion.
Actually, from memory, you've got a bit of history behind that, haven't you, Jamie?
Behind the Colin Mead thing?
Yes, yeah. Or you obviously have a relationship with Colin Mead, or you have done in the past?
Oh, well, I'm a bit of a fanboy, to be honest, Larry, and I've done quite a few sort of MC gigs with himself and Dick Taylor, and I was lucky enough a couple of years ago to speak at his tribute dinner in Tauranga. They had a huge big dinner or luncheon for him. I'm just a fan who's been lucky enough to meet the great man on several occasions, and as we all know, his health is not the best, but this is going to be a tribute to a man who has given so much, not only in rugby, Larry, but when it comes to charities. This man has given in excess of seven figures over his life, so not many of us can say that.
Yeah, I'd like to have seven figures. I'll start there and see how we go. We'll finish up here. This is a sort of a two-part thing. Believe it or not, we need to get to the bottom of the Sally Lunn, Boston Bun. Does Chelsea Bun come into it as well, or is that different again?
I have to add my bit to the Sally Lunn, Boston Bun debate. Mm-hmm. I'm a South Islander, and the notion that they are the same thing with different names, North and South, I just cannot believe. The Boston Bun that I've known all my long and
illustrious life, yes.
is a yeasty base with sultanas and pink raspberry icing. The Sally Lunn is a similar textured dough, but it has peel and lemon-flavoured white icing. And they're two quite distinct animals, and they always have been.
I've never known it to have peel in the North Island.
No.
Oh, well, that's because you're a North Islander.
You can't see peel.
You've got it all wrong.
Probably. I've got so many things wrong in my less than illustrious life. So did you used to make both or have both?
Oh, yes, definitely. Yep. We had both. The Boston bun, the one with the peel and the lemon, is not so commonly made now. I actually preferred it, but the Boston
Bun. So the Boston bun has the peel and the lemon. The Sally Lunn is the pink icing.
The other way around.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry.
The Boston bun has sultanas and pink raspberry icing.
Okay.
And that's what I grew up with, and I'm an octogenarian now and still enjoying them both.
they sound as fit as a buck rat. Mm. They've clearly kept
that's
you in good health.
I eat Boston buns and Sally Lunns, you see.
Well, I should live to 1,000.
That keeps us going down here.
Well, good. You've just officially made yourself the authority.
So that clears up. No mention of Chelsea buns there at all. Maybe we can get some clarification on that here.
Yeah, going back to my college days, they weren't called Boston buns and they weren't called Sally Lunns. They were called coffee buns.
Uh-huh.
So I had one just about every day, so I got the nickname when my mate came back from down south. He started calling me Lunn.
Oh,
they
really?
Were called Sally Lunns down there.
So, but the same thing, a coffee bun, exactly the same.
Exactly the same, and I think they still call that up here in certain shops. Not very often Boston buns, but certainly Sally Lunns up here. But
whereabouts are you?
Coffee buns in Wellington.
Oh, okay. So maybe it's a coffee bun in Wellington, a Sally Lunn in the north, and a Boston bun in the south.
It's all very specific. No wonder there was an academic
study done on it.
I've just had a tweet from Mitch who says Sally Lunn's is the oldest house in Bath, UK. Was there for buns 3 weeks ago. They can be eaten sweet or savoury and no icing.
Oh, I like the idea of the savoury situation. So now we've got coffee buns introduced into the equation as well. Still no update on Chelsea. Can we get that sorted this afternoon, please, Kerry and Mark? We'll see what happens. I am Glenn ZB. That has been News Talk ZB for Friday and the week. Whatever happens with the bun debate, it's left me hungry, as usual. It's so often at the end of these podcasts, I'm hungry and all thirsty. What can we do about this? Can we get this podcast catered or what? See you Monday.